Flash Black Radio is trying to approach health and well-being from a holistic point of view, so we're not just looking at it from the perspective of what you're consuming as far as your diet. We want to make sure that your finances are healthy. We want to make sure that your relationships are healthy. We want to make sure that you are healthy psychologically, physically, spiritually. If it affects the community, we need to talk about it. Finances, let's talk about it. Social issues of the day, let's talk about it. Relationships, let's talk about it. Career paths, how we can better ourselves, how we can better positions for our family, how we can make positions for our families. Let's talk about it. Let's stop beating around the bush and let's get in. Let's get active. Let's get involved. Your diet isn't just what you consume physically. It's what you consume mentally, the conversations you participate in, what you watch on TV, what you listen to on the radio. All of this is a part of your diet, and all of this has an impact on your health and your well-being. Flash Black is a new perspective for a multicolored collective. You are now listening to Flash
Black. You are now listening to Flash Black Radio.
Hello, beautiful people. This is Culture Shock on Flash Black Radio, and I am Da Vinci Parks, a.k.a. Lee Bennett III, and this is podcast number 2 in the Financial Health and Wellness series. Okay, so we've already discussed jumping into the pool, and I gave a personal example, very simple in nature, with regard to jumping in the pool and the importance of essentially not putting off until tomorrow what you can do today. So that is what we wanted to discuss in the last one. And then we talked from there. We talked about finding out what your 90-day number is. And then we also talked about a couple of tools that can help you better manage and assess and work with your budget, which leads us into today, which is establishing a budget. And the reason why it's important, and one of the reasons why I wanted to do this, is because having spent a little bit of time in the past in the financial industry, I came across a lot of individuals who were well-intentioned and wanted to do well in the realm of finances, but weren't necessarily equipped to do so. So I wanted to do something for a long time, but I wasn't quite sure how I could do it. And then finally, I came across the idea of just doing it in a podcast. So I figured this would be a good way to do it. And to illustrate my point, there is an article that I read not too long ago. And in it, it talked about how much the typical American saved in the year of 2015 and how the comparisons were made. And one of the first paragraphs in this article stated, according to Moody's Analytics in 2006, the median American below the age of 54, which it said most of us are, actually had a negative savings rate. So even worse, those age 44 and under averaged a savings rate worse than negative 10%. So that means you're spending not only everything that you make over the course of the year, but you're spending 10% beyond that. That was around what I was aware of. Actually, I thought it was a little bit better than that. I had seen numbers where it was negative 0.5% to 1%, a negative percent being spent. I was not aware that it was that bad. So again, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to do this. And I believe one of the things that can be a great way to offset this statistic, although it did get better, and I'll post this article, one of the ways to offset this statistic and also make it so you're not one of those people who are saving negative 10% or negative 0.5% is to create a budget. And creating a budget is not that hard. The biggest thing that having a budget involves is discipline. A lot of us are not disciplined enough to sit down and actually focus on creating a budget, not just one that we have in our head that we can oh, I kind of make this much, and oh, I can kind of spend this much. But seriously, setting a budget and sticking to it. So I wanted to go over the importance of creating a budget, some things to consider when it comes to creating a budget, and I wanted to just dive right in, okay? So one of the first things I wanted to say with regard to creating a budget is if there's more than one adult in the household, then you should do this as a team, okay? Especially if you're a spouse or you are thinking about getting married, you're living with your fiance, your partner, whatever, okay? There's an article in Forbes in 2011, and it listed five financial mistakes that can ruin a marriage. And I thought out of the 5 points that they made, and I'll post this article as well, there were two that were really critical, in my opinion, that really stood out a little bit more than the rest. Not to say they weren't all important, but the first one was materialism and valuing things or money over the relationship. The second one, which I thought was very important, was having conflicting money values. So if you value money and your partner does not, or your partner values money and you do not, that is already going to be a source of conflict between you. It's going to be a slow burn, or it's going to be a powder keg that blows up real fast. But either way, that is not a good recipe. So again, this is one of the reasons why I said you should do this as a team. The third point is adopting traditional roles when they don't fit. Having opposite money styles is the fourth point, and I think that's important. So if one person is thinking I should save and I should prepare for this, and another person is thinking I should spend, this can be an issue as well. So again, that goes hand in hand, in my opinion, with having conflicting money values. And then there's also number five, which is important as well, is that magical thinking, getting results without a plan. And again, that comes back to what we want to do right here is talk about establishing a budget and how you do that. Another thing I want you to consider if you're going to go about creating a budget is if you have roommates or college buddies or BFFs or your cousins or just regular folks that are trying to make it just like you are living with you, then you can do a budget with them too. Now, here's the thing. I'm not expecting you to do every single line item of your budget with them in the same room, but you could consider developing a budget that affects all the members of the living space. So a budget for groceries and bills is not out of the question. If everybody has an idea and an understanding that they agree upon regarding what each person is supposed to spend and for what and when, that can make things smoother. Sometimes that does not happen. So that's just something to consider, okay? Another thing that I want you to consider, and this one might be a little bit touchy, but just bear with me and hear me out. If there are children in the household, help them to understand what discretionary income is so you can teach them how to manage a budget item. And it can start off with something as simple as a grocery budget. And we're going to get into that in a second. So first of all, I want to go over the concept of what a budget is, and then we'll go over how to make one. Okay, so think of a budget as a bucket, right? And inside this bucket, you put all your money for the month. Everything that you earn, everything that comes into your pockets, if it's directly into your pockets in cash or it's directly into your pockets via direct deposit. However you get your money, how that money comes to you, that goes into a bucket. And that money sits there typically until you need to spend it on something, i.e. a bill or an expense. But that's what the money does. It sits there and awaits to be doled out. Okay, so you have a large bucket that you put your money in. And that's how most people treat their budget. It's just one bucket where everything comes in and goes out of, right? But what I would like you to do is I would like you to think of that same large bucket, but inside that bucket, there are smaller buckets, okay? And each bucket can only hold but so much before it overflows, and you don't want that bucket to overflow unless it's a savings bucket, okay? that bucket can never be big enough. So let me explain what I mean by you don't want that bucket to overflow. If your rent every month is $1,000, you have a bucket inside that large bucket that should have a small label on it that says $1,000. You do not want that to go over $1,000, i.e. you don't want to have to pay $1,000 plus 5% late fees because you paid your rent late. So you know that your rent should be $1,000 for the month. Then you know that you should not exceed that. So you have a bucket for rent, and that's where money goes into, money that goes into that larger bucket, you put $1,000 in there for rent, because rent is a primary expense. And you want to make sure all your primary expenses go first. Okay? Then you have a bucket for your utilities. You have an idea of what your utilities should cost, and you know you don't want to exceed a certain level, right? So these are primary expenses, but they're kind of more flexible and they float a little bit. So these are the type of primary expenses that you want to try to manage through good habits. So one way you could do it with electricity is, for example, cutting off lights when you're not in the room, or making sure you have a good thermostat installed and not a fossil that kicks on at the drop of a hat and or kicks on too late and tries to cool your house down once it's super hot and exceeds your energy quota every day, or, you know, something like that. So there are ways that you can manage your utilities to make them more affordable. A lot of times there are other things that you can do, but you get what I'm saying. So hypothetically speaking, if your average expense for electricity should not go over $65, then that's what you want to set your budget for the month. And you want to try to keep that under $65. Okay. So you have that for electricity, and then you have a bucket, say if you have gas as well, you have a bucket for gas. You know, on average, what you want to spend for gas, and you don't want to go over that, okay? And you have a bucket for your auto insurance. You know what you want to spend on auto insurance for a month. Now, sometimes those rates can adjust and not be static. In other words, it might be something one month, and the next month it can be something completely different, depending upon whether or not you have bundled services. So if you have renter's insurance or homeowner's insurance bundled in with your auto insurance, and say maybe some other form of insurance, this can cause your bill to fluctuate. So that's something to keep in mind, but you have an idea of what you want that to be. So inside this bucket, again, it's a bunch of little buckets, and you want to make sure every bucket has an amount that you do not want to exceed as far as expenses are concerned, okay? And when it comes to income, you want to put as much money in that bucket as possible. And if that $1,000 in rent, you know, teams over in terms of you spend a little more, then you know that if you're spending more than that $1,000, then that money is going to start affecting other parts of your budget. And so that's something to consider. So again, going back to the whole involving kids thing, I think it's extremely important that you start them off with the understanding of what a budget is, and you can start with the grocery budget. And it doesn't have to get into the gore details of every aspect of your total budget, but it helps them to understand how money works. Let them know how much money you have for groceries for the month. That way, when they go to the store with you, they can understand that, hey, we have this much money for the family and we can't spend it on idle things unless we make some sacrifices. So maybe they're not going to want to get the name brand cereal and they'll be more interested in getting generic. Or maybe they'll be interested, if you're flexible and you're not particular about laundry detergent, then that could be an option as well. These are things that you want to be able to make sure your child understands. And the sooner that they begin to understand money at a young age, the better and more responsible they're likely to be. That's just something I wanted you to consider. And we'll come back to and touch on that a little bit later as well. Now that we've discussed the buckets and all that, you pretty much need to, after you've assessed what you're spending with the 90-day number that we talked about in the first podcast. After you've assessed what you're making and what you're spending, you want to be able to break these things out line by line into what are called line items. Each expense is on its own line, and you want to categorize or prioritize what goes towards the top as a priority expense and what goes towards the bottom as more of a luxury or discretionary expense. Okay, so again, mortgages go at the top. Rent goes at the top as a priority expense. Towards the bottom, buying a really cute purse or a really fresh pair of sneakers, that's more of a luxury discretionary expense. These are the type of things you want to assess, because the more you have things prioritized towards the top, the less money you're going to have once you get towards the bottom, unless you start figuring out how much you really want to spend on things across the board. And once you start to do that, you'll be able to start to create extra wiggle room in your budget, which we'll discuss in the next podcast. So after you've created your line items and you've organized everything and you've identified what's priority and what is luxury, you want to create a threshold or safety net based upon your absolute household expenses versus your luxury expenses. And the key thing that you have to keep in mind is you need to stick to your budget. You have to be honest with yourself. This is an exercise in honesty, because the biggest thing that we have to face a lot of times when it comes to our budget is there are things that we want. And sometimes those things that we want can get in our head, and we really want those things now, and we start to make decisions that will affect our bottom line, and it will cause us to be further in the red when we don't want to do that. Okay, so another thing that I want you to consider is creating a line item or two or three or four for savings. It's okay to have multiple buckets for savings, and here's why. Your savings is your payment to yourself. It's really that simple. A lot of times what happens is people have money when they get paid, because here's what happens. A lot of us don't take the time to create a budget. So we know how much money we make, and we know how much we need to spend roughly on our, again, priority items such as living expenses. So that's utilities, insurance, car notes, stuff like that. We know exactly what we need to pay things for, right? Or spend things on. So we know when we can spend on things maybe we shouldn't spend on, or get the things that we like. And we kind of just get that fuzzy math going. So you allot all this money to pay to other people, but rarely do you allot money for yourself. And that makes no sense. You should always be looking for ways to pay yourself. And paying yourself does not mean spending your money on things that are material. Okay? Not saying that you can't do that, but just saying that take a little money, put it to the side for yourself. You should have at a minimum a rainy day fund. And a rainy day fund does not have to be the be all end all. You don't have to have it immediately socked away and magically there. But a rainy day fund should be a pot of money that is liquid, which roughly equals 3 to 6 months of your bottom line expenses. So that covers 3 to 6 months of your mortgage and or rent, of your utilities, your groceries, any major expenses like car note or car insurance, anything to get by. And you need this because there are instances such as unforeseen unemployment or perhaps changing a job. And then when you change a job, your insurance hasn't kicked in and all of a sudden you have medical expenses. You know, there are so many different scenarios where things can arise. And if you don't have the money, you're putting yourself in a more of a financial bind, because now you have to pull that money from somewhere that you didn't have in the first place. Whereas if you had a rainy day fund, you could do that. So I want to challenge you to create a rainy day fund. Open up a spare savings account if you don't have one already. Log into your financial institution and just make an automatic schedule transfer, okay? And just transfer $25 per paycheck at a minimum. Most of us, 85% of us can do $25 per paycheck. If you can do more, I challenge you to do more. If it hurts a little bit, that's not a bad thing, okay? because it hurts a little bit when we pay our rent. Why can't it hurt a little bit when we pay ourselves? I'm not saying you have to do it that way, but the whole point is you don't want a whole bunch of money left in the coffers at the end of the month. You want that money going towards savings, and you want to spend what you need to on the things that you like, but you don't want to go overboard. So if you can spend more towards savings and a little less towards discretionary income, and again, discretionary income is money that is not tied to anything at the end of the month or at the end of the paycheck or at the end of the week. It's money that you can spend as you like or at your discretion. Hopefully, you will take some of that discretionary income and save it. A lot of what we do is we get tempted to, instead of saving it, we get tempted like, oh, it's sitting there. Why don't I spend it on something? And it doesn't have to be that way. So we need to change our thinking in that regard. And again, this is something that you can discuss with your kids. And, you know, there are strategies that you can do. You can do a saving strategy for that same automatic transfer, $25. You can set up a savings account strictly for Christmas, right? Set it up at the beginning of the year or set it up right now, okay? You don't have to wait till the beginning of the year. But you can start it where you're saving $25 per paycheck or $35 or $50 per paycheck. And hypothetically speaking, if you did that from January 1, when you get to December 1st, when it's time to do all your Christmas shopping and they start releasing the good deals, you'll have $1,100 saved away that you never even thought twice about because it was automatic. Savings should be automatic. It should be something you don't have to think about that much unless you're getting a large sum of money like a tax return or something like that. Okay? So creating a budget, again, is just looking at what you're spending and what you're making and creating line items for every item that you're spending on. And then you prioritize what's important. You want to take what's important first and also consider things that maybe aren't everyday run-of-the-mill occurrences. So car maintenance hopefully is not something that happens every month, but it's something you want to allow for. So you want to put that in your budget. So if it doesn't happen, whatever money that you set aside or made available specifically for car maintenance, maybe you can save that. So if you have $50 per month that you're earmarking in your budget for car maintenance, and that car maintenance does not need to happen, then put it in savings. That's a way that you can do it. That's a way that you can save. Okay? Medical expenses. There's nothing wrong with creating a little bit of an earmark for that or reserve a line item for something like clothing. You know, dry cleaning could be one line item and clothing could be another. Some people work in jobs and professions where they need to keep their wardrobe up to date, current, and nice. Other people, not so much. But these are things that you can make considerations for. Just creating line items and focusing on what's important, keeping that towards the top. And then once you have the core things identified, then you can start expanding and adding other things. And then if you have enough in your budget, once you get past the savings, then you can start looking at how much money you can have towards discretionary spending. And that's how you create your budget. But you always want your budget to work for you and not the other way around. In the next podcast, what we're going to focus on is creating wiggle room in your budget. And that's a concept that hopefully will help you. Even if you're not making more money, you'll have more money at the end of the pay period or at the end of the month, just by being a little more disciplined, a little more focused, and changing your perspective a little bit on how you spend your money and how you look at your money. So again, even if you're not making more money, there are ways to create wiggle room in your budget. And we're going to go over just a few key items or key things that you can do. And once we go over that, I'm sure you'll come up with your own. Feel free to share those if you'd like, right in the comments, okay? So thank you so much for listening. I hope this has been helpful and beneficial to you. And again, keep coming back because this series is just getting started. And I want you to get all the information you can to help you live a better and fuller life. Until next time, this is Da Vinci Parks on Culture Shock on Flash Black Radio. God bless. Peace.